The message this morning is America, honor your right to vote. The text is from Psalms 33. We'll start reading at verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. No king, and I would add no president or nation, is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety, neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. As we look at this text, it's one that lends itself to today's occasion, to know that the Lord blesses those who are his. If you are his, you are receiving his blessings. You may not always realize it, but I oftentimes speak of the silent runnings of the Holy Spirit. He oftentimes shows up in our lives and we don't have a clue that he's there. I know sometimes you can just whisper a prayer and then you wonder what happened to that burden. It was just like gone like that. Thank God for that. God would bless a nation of people too if they would honor him and if they would love him. And no matter where he is, and he is everywhere, he looks from heaven, but he's looking wherever he is heaven. Amen? And he's looking upon all the children of God, all the children that he's created. It's his dwelling place that he inhabits, and he wants to inhabit us, make us his new dwelling place in our lives. And we are long learning that God says, trust me in all situations. In times of dire circumstances, in times that seem to be threatening somehow, when we learn to trust him, we realize he's really there, that he's really present. And we have to get to the place in our lives where we know God is present when we can't feel him. Even when we are feeling the burden that we are carrying and what we're dealing with, we have to come to a place where our faith in him is off the page. Where we just know because we know because he's always been faithful. And not only that, it's because he has promised. And God keeps his promises. So we don't have to trust in the objective physical realm and world and people to always help us and deliver us. We can trust in the God who is given to silent runnings. I take it from a comparison of submarines, how they can rig a submarine so you can't even tell it. It's running, it's in the water, and it's quiet, and it's much smoother than they did in, Second World War. But just want to encourage you today that you can risk to step out of yourself. He says the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, who worship him, that is, who reverence him, and those who hope in his mercy. So I want to encourage you today, let us be one of those. One of what? One of those people who fear him, who reverence him in our whole lives. Not just on Sunday morning, not just when a good religious program comes on the air, but when you and your wife don't agree. When the store clerk shortchanges you. And even sometimes when he gives you too much back, you give it back to him. That's happened to me twice. Where they both gave me $20 more than they should have given me. And they were shocked out of their brain when I said, gave me too much. God is present to deliver us. And he's saying here, even a time of famine. And that's not just a famine of food. That's the famine of the word. Because a nation and a people can get so messed up that, you know, God won't even be there to manifest. You know, that won't be like he said to Samuel when Samuel was just a little boy, you know. You know, he had to go and hear what Eli would tell him. He would hear the Lord call him Samuel. He would run to Eli, and Eli would say, go back and say, you know, speak, Lord, I hear. But God speaks to us, and even in the times of he wants us to hope in his mercy and trust him. So let's be one of those who will always fear the Lord. Always fear the Lord. Amen. Delivers their soul from death, and he keeps them alive in the famine. He says also that our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. So I said there's a lot of hoping and a lot of waiting and a lot of praying for God to return to this nation. He's here in and among his people. But just about every believer is aware of the deficit we have of his covering presence on our nation. As our nation has gone through so much ruin, it's obvious that God's presence and covering and protection has retracted. It's what happens. He tells us he'll do that in his word. And so we are here, but he has not removed himself from us. He's here with us. We still can reach out and touch others who need help. We can still encourage them. We can still pray, God, save America. God, mercy, mercy. Sometimes the Spirit of the Lord comes and I just begin to find us crying out in mercy for this nation. Because we've done so much to undo. So much righteousness has been undone in this nation. But yet, somehow, the heavy hasn't come. That's why I said last time, perhaps God will relent. You know, we can get somebody really leading a national call to repentance, fasting, and prayer. Again, there's a lot of hoping, a lot of waiting, a lot of praying for God to return to this nation. But God is here in among his people, and he is one to touch our lives. He says in verse 21, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. He said, let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in you. So saints, I say God has been good to us as a nation because in our beginning we made the Lord our God. And he chose us also for his inheritance. And God blessed America. And adhering to our Lord's God-given principles and purposes in America, we adhere to his sovereign grace. We get blessed by his sovereign grace and his blessings in our lives. The callings and the blessings of God are divine in nature and in their purpose as well. And consequently, there is something we were and are supposed to be, and something we were and are supposed to do for God while we are still here. Amen? We must be up and about our Father's business. But we all know there is a devil, don't we? And I don't mean a red suit, you know, pitchfork type, but I'm talking about a supernatural spirit who still retains a lot of his power. But when it comes to you and me, because we know Jesus, God has a choke chain on him. There's only so much he can do, and he has to get permission. And the Father said he won't put any more upon us, and then we are able to bear, didn't he? That ought to make you happy. But there is a devil in this world whose only desire and sole intent is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said it this way, the thief comes and does not come for anything except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But if I may add, he said, but I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. What they? I asked the question. All those for whom the devil has come. And why has he come? He has come to steal, what? To kill and destroy every child of Adam. That includes you and me. And sneaky old rascal. But I tell you, God has given us greater power and greater authority. Amen. Amen. And if you don't have that yet, then I want to tell you, check in with the real Jesus. Amen. Check in with the real Lord and Master. The real Savior. That's why I sometimes ask people, are you saved for real or for play? That's what we used to say when we were kids. You know, are we playing for real or for funds? And we're shooting marbles and okay, no. But we have an enemy. And he's working, he's freer in the world than he's been for a long time. And all around the world you see this falling away, this tearing down and breaking down. Consequently, as a nation and as a church, in things physical and spiritual, in things natural and supernatural, the people of the United States of America have to fight against the prevailing anti-God and the anti-God culture to keep what God has given us. They are moving to control every aspect of human life in America in effort to remove every vestige of God in Christ from this land. And they are well aided. After being pounded, pursued, pasteurized, pacified, and morally paralyzed through the glitz and the glamour of the mind-arresting entertainment media and the de-educational system of the day, this arch-enemy has taken many into his kingdom. Right now, America really needs God's help, externally and internally. We're fighting wars on two major fronts, on the spiritual and the natural. I mean, you almost want to say to them, what? If you guys are going to fight this third world, go on with it. Stop all of this dancing around, pretending like nobody knows what you're really up to. Right now, America really needs God's help. The encroaching presence of the enemy can be felt practically on every level of our society. I dare say there's not a one of you in this place today who's not aware of the destructive nature of the enemy in our nation. How destruction has torn down every sacred thing that we esteemed and held precious. And if we are going to make it as a nation, we must move backwards, go backwards into repentance, go backwards into faith, backwards into the love of God. Jesus said over there in Revelation, you know, we need to do our first works again. Back up and do your first works again if that's what our nation needs to do. And become one nation again, under God once again, individually once again, with liberty and justice for all. We need to regain all of that. But the truth is, we, like the rest of the world, are racing in the opposite direction. We just need to tell the truth, saints. This nation is going in the opposite direction, but we need to keep on trusting God and praying. All that has been systematically dismantled in America must somehow be restored through someone of vision. Someone who is not a globalist, driven to corral the nations of the world into a one world antichrist system of government. With army, actually one world army it is, one world court, one world bank, one world everything, all under one world leader. Who better than God? Amen? And those who love him and serve him. Everything wholesome, everything hopeful, everything good, and promising that America and much of the world has fashioned over for many decades has been engineered right out from under us. We must have God's help if we are to make it out of the geopolitical and spiritual nightmare we are sinking into. These are dangerous times for us, but God is still the answer. He is still our supreme commander-in-chief. And the church is still his means for bringing restoration and salvation to this nation and to the rest of the world. You and I, we are the ones who are to be praying like every other believer around the nation. Remember, God does not want America to die in her wars. He wants her to win. He doesn't want his church to be weary and wane in our spiritual battles. We must fight. We must press on and overcome and be triumphant. God is saying, wake up, America. Wake up, men and women of God. Repent and return to me. Once again, let the Lord be your one and only God. Check it out. Check out your life. What is that you're esteeming more than you really esteem God? It can't be anything. Not anything and not anyone. And if you're not there yet, you got to get there. He's got to be first. He has to be God. And if he's not first, he is not yet Lord. He's got to be Lord. Well, then let the Lord be your one and only God. Push aside all the other stuff Christians are bowing down to these days. There's a very serious call from heaven for the church to keep her trust in the Almighty. You got to stay strong. You got to be making moves toward him now. Because you see, if you're not close to him, you can't be receiving what you need. Amen. To be strong and to stand strong in the Lord. You'll be presumptuous, presuming that you have what you need, and it's him that you need standing tall in you. I dare declare, say, you can be so anointed by the power of God when you come in the presence of the devil, he'll think you're Jesus. Because we look just like him, huh? It's that glorious anointing that throws them all. But there's a very serious call, I say again, from heaven for the church to keep her trust in the Almighty. Important that you continue to pray and not stop praying for yourself and for your families and for your national leaders and for the world. Pray and keep on praying. In Luke 18:1, Jesus spoke a parable to his disciples, telling them that men ought what? Always to pray and not to lose heart, not to quit, not to stop, not to faint, and certainly not to give up. This is a time to be spiritual warriors of prayer as we possibly can intercede like never before for a nation that's on trial. And I'm talking about America. We're a nation that's on trial. You know, and I'm trusting that the judge hasn't passed a sentence. If you understand what I'm saying today, do you really understand what I'm saying today? When you look at all the stuff that the Supreme Court has done, all the stuff that these politicians has done, as they've been dancing around and telling us one thing and lying like mad, we need to pray. This is time to be spiritual warriors of prayer as we possibly intercede for a nation again on trial. A nation for whom God may be already writing her judgment on the wall. Like he did for King Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5. When we look over there at Daniel chapter 5, we start at first verse there. It tells the story. Belshazzar the king made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords and drank wine in the presence of the 1,000. While he tasted the wine, Belshazzar gave the command to bring the gold and the silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple which had been in Jerusalem, that the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines might drink from them. Then they brought the gold vessels that had been taken from the temple of the house of God, which had been in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives and his concubines drank from them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze and iron and wood and stone. In the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw that part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance changed and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his hips were loosened and his knees knocked against each other. I mean, God can shake it up. God can shake you up. Believe me, you don't want to mess with him. Anybody who's crazy enough to mess with God like that, it does not really believe he exists. Like, if you so bad, come on, show me what you got. I guess I was at verse 7. The king cried aloud to bring the astrologers, the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. The king spoke, saying to the wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and tells me its interpretation shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around his neck, and he shall be ruler, the third ruler of the kingdom. Now all the king's wise men came, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king its interpretation. Then King Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed, and his lords were astonished. The queen, because of the words of the king and his lords, came to the banquet hall. The queen spoke, saying, O king, live forever. Do not let your thoughts trouble you, nor let your countenance change. There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father, the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, and explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will give the interpretation. When unbelievers have confidence in the people of God. And I believe today, I think in every generation, we need somebody like Daniel. I believe Rabbi Jonathan Cahn is a modern day of the likes of the Old Testament prophets. That man, he's a Kohen, and the Kohens had those fabulous memories. They were the ones who could write down the Old Testament text by memory. And when you listen to this man on other times, you can ask him a question, he'll just roll off stuff. Immediate recall. I mean, deep volumes of material. And so you should check out his new book called The Book of Mysteries. It'll blow you away. But I want to mention how the times we're in. I advise that you go on YouTube and you look up where he talks about the ark replica of the temple of Baal, or he'll say Baal or Baal. And how many have run across that, seen it, where they built this ark in New York City? If they show the ark, but when Jonathan shows, he shows you the beast that will be sitting on it. And I said, this is a scheme. They like, we're going to bring in this ark. Now, let's just innocent little ark here. But, you know, today the ark, tomorrow the rest of the beast will be on the ark. That's what's happened in America, this encroachment of evil. It's gotten so dark in our nation. It's like Satan owns the nation. The original plan was to build these arcs all over the United States. And they stopped and they held back for some reason. Now they're starting out slowly. But I guarantee you, just like mosques are going up all over the place, that ark is going to be up all over the nation in the big cities. So you can tell that would not have been in the days of Billy Graham. That would not have been so in the days of just recent days of the power of the world when the church was strong. And talking about being great again, Jonathan said, we can't be great again if we don't repent. No matter how nice we look, no matter how nice we sound, you know. I look back now at verse 13, Daniel. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, are you that Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah whom my father, the king, brought from Judah? I left out the whole thing about Nebuchadnezzar, you can read that whole chapter and get all of that. He said, I have heard of you that the Spirit of God is in you and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not give the interpretation of the thing. Drop down to verse 18. O king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty, glory and honor. And because of the majesty that he gave him, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whomever he wished, he executed. Whomever he wished, he kept alive. Whomever he wished, he set up. And whomever he wished, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his spirit was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Then he was driven from the sons of men, his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till he knew that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and appoints over it whomever he chooses. But you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, although you knew all this. And you have lifted yourself up against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before you. And you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them. And you have praised the gods of silver and gold, bronze and iron, wood and stone, which do not see or hear or know. And the God who holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways, you have not glorified. Then the fingers of the hand were sent from him. And this writing was written. And this is the inscription that was written, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of each word. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Did I lose it first? Oh, I'll read it from up here because I cut out one too many. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Chaldeans, were slain. Oh, yeah, that's the last one. No, three. That's verse 30. Okay, forgive me. But a famous bit of prose inspired by this fifth chapter, Daniel reads, the moving finger writes in heaven writ, moves on, nor all the piety nor wit shall lure it back to cancel half a line, nor all the tears wash out a word of it. How many have ever heard that? The hand having the finger having the moving finger writes and having writ moves on. My pastor used to quote that a lot. If perchance God has not written the final line on our nation, it behooves God's people to pray like you've never prayed before. In many respects, it also behooves us to be ready for Jesus. He might just stop by and pick us up. You know in your heart, don't you, that we're that close? You know that, don't you? It might be that God will pour out upon us his grace and power. I just thought about it again when I was just getting all stoked out about, man, God, that new body. I can't wait to get that new body. And I heard him just as clear as I hear you chuckling. He said, it's in you. He just wiped me out. Just completely wiped me out. I'm thinking about, all he's going to do is, I don't know what he's going to do, wave a finger, but in a twinkling of an eye, something's going to snap. And millions of us all over the place. You understand what I'm saying? There won't be no messing around, no fall or all, as Angela likes to say. I tell you, I'm so fully expectant. You know, there's nothing in this world to compare to what he has prepared for you. Absolutely nothing. And you can multiply it 1,000 times and it's still nothing. Today the devil can't understand why I wouldn't take his offer. I was a young captain, could use a little money when I was first in the army. Laying there in my bed, Carolyn sleeping nice and quietly, like she always does. She just purrs. I roar, she purrs. Right, and all of a sudden, you know, you never know when you're in the spirit. But it's just like I'm wide awake, and here this newspaper floats up to me. It's a stock market page. And in my spirit, I know what it is. Oh, I know what this is. Oh, you do? And I said, I wouldn't serve you for $1 million. He said, all right, if that's the way you want it. I'm talking about a very real spirit world. And I'm not an anomaly. God has people like me all over the place. Amen. So you will know that this is true, what he can do in you. And I didn't mean to rhyme, but it happens to me all the time. Hallelujah. Saints, you just got to know you're in for something good. And I don't believe any one of you want to be messing up on Jesus. It's not worth it. Not worth it. I tell you, now's the day to be, just when you see him, and the Lord leads you, just give it to him. Lay the word on him. But we need everything that God has for us. For whatever the challenge and mission that God knows is coming our way, he wills to be with us and lead us all through it. But God intends for his Holy Spirit to be present with us, miraculously, to counsel us, to guide us, to protect us in all that's coming down in our nation and world and in the battle we must fight. God's church has been key to the victories that this nation has won. And as a result, God has been with us and for us basically because we were a nation whose God was the Lord. We were that nation. We too are a people that God chose for his own inheritance. And America has not fought her last great battle for righteousness yet. There are other battles that we must fight. And because of the ultimate sacrifice of men and women who have given their lives to keep this nation and others free, we live in a nation and a world once made safe and free to seek God and to know him and to worship him and to serve him. Let's pray and endeavor to keep it that way, even though there are evil men and forces constantly working to end it all for us. Let your life be full and strengthened with the stuff of God that he is drawn to you and so moves in you. Pardon me. To have you look to him. The Lord is America's true prize. We must let the secondary things go and give him the highest praise and the greatest devotion. First Chronicles 12:32 tells us that the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, they knew what Israel ought to do. In our time, right now, we need to know what time it is and what God is saying we ought to do. Amen. The time we are in are critical times of great political, social, moral, religious, and spiritual conflict. Wow, it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that we are where we are today. It is just so hard. As Christians, we need to know what time it is according to God's time clock and what to do, because there's an increasing awareness that these are dangerous days and the time is short. Consequently, every one of God's people must be ready and willing to stand up for the Lord in every expression of life, which also means undertaking our right to vote. What time is it? It is time for every Christian who is able to get out and vote. Will you stand up for your call? Will you undertake the challenge God is setting before his people? Will you do that? Somebody said people are like potatoes. Some people never seem to motivated to participate, but are content to watch others do it. Pardon me, I was just up a little kind of late. I always like to get the now word, and if God won't speak, I'm gonna press him. I'm not the only one that happens to, praise God. But he says, people are like potatoes. Some people never seem motivated to participate, but are content to watch others do. They are called spectators. He says, some people never do anything help, but are gifted at finding fault with the way others do things. They are called commentators. Some people are always looking to cause problems and really get under your skin. They are called agitators. Then there are those who are always saying they will, but somehow they never get around to doing it. They will, but they won't. We call them hesitators. And some people put on a front and act like someone else. They are called imitators. Then there are those who walk what they talk. They are always prepared to stop what they are doing, to lend a hand to others and bring a real sunshine into the lives of others. Will you call those sweet potatoes? But where will you stand? A political blogger writing for the Right to Fight blog writes, remember the quote, now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their party. Patriots need to reach into their memory pool to pull out the quote, dust off the words, and shout the quote to fellow citizens. Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. It is a desperate plea for help in the 11th hour, saints. Standing shoulder to shoulder, patriots have a chance to block the governmental encroachment of personal rights that is taking place on a daily basis in our nation. Sadly, he says, the call may be too late. However, the American spirit is not to be underestimated. This is why it is so important that a candidate for the President of the United States of America is grounded in and committed to the godly cause and vision laid out by the Founding Fathers in our Constitution. So you, as you listen to see if they want to change the Constitution. Listen if they want to kind of alter the Constitution. If they think, well, it doesn't fit the social situation today, you know, and it's a floating document now. Not breaking the laws of the land and not working to alter or do away with our Constitution. That's the kind of people we're looking for. Vote for those who support and are convincingly bound to the understanding that a republic is, as Lincoln said in his Gettysburg Address, a government of the people, by the people, for the people. It has not mattered a lot whether a national leader was a Democrat or a Republican. Both groups have spawned one-world devotees of globalism and clandestinely used their political positions and influence to maneuver America onto the path of being a sovereignless third-world nation of the global alliance under the auspices of the United Nations. You'll be surprised how much our current leadership is pushing us to turn everything over to the United Nations. There's even stuff about the army, not our army, but they're sending the army of the United Nations now to take care of our players. This is why your first allegiance must be to God, so that you may pray and that he may give you, as best you can receive, understanding and a sense of what principles, policies, and political platforms most represent his heart, his mind, his principles, and his word. As you no longer hype up by the rhetoric of political pied pipers, make an informed decision as to which candidates you believe America needs most to lead her forward. You see, not only it is your constitutional privilege, but your duty to God and country as a free citizen of what has been the greatest nation in the history of the world. And knowing there are those who would take it away from you, be, as Pat Robertson said, an intelligent voter, one who is at least reasonably informed. Don't stick your head in the proverbial sand and say, KCR, whatever will be, will be. God's wisdom and guidance is available to you. In the book of Daniel, a situation arose where King Nebuchadnezzar had a disturbing dream. He demanded his wise men at all to interpret the dream. But behold, they were not able to do that. Amen. Or be put to death, but they could not do it to save their lives. In Daniel 2:20 and 22, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belongs wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. God's unlimited control over seasons and times is seen in this, that he set up kings and he cast them down. Therefore, I say to you, if you seek him, he will speak to your heart, guide you, and give you insight that you might make a wise choice for he works through his people. So seek him as you prepare yourself to vote. Whether you vote or not should not be a question. It is your Christian obligation as a good citizen to vote. Our need is to hold strong and steady and pray for our republic and for Israel. This is a critical time for us, for Israel, for our world. It is urgent that we who are called by his name, that we humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. Persevere in prayer for America. Pray for the elections. Pray for the candidates. Pray understanding that God knows the hearts and intentions of the candidate. Pray that the Lord gives us what we need or the candidate that best meets that need. Then pray for others, for the voters that, like good citizens, they will exercise their constitutional right and vote. In every national election, multiple millions of Christians fail to vote. However, did not Jesus say about people giving to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and giving to God what belongs to God? Did he not say that? The Pharisees and the what Pat Robinson said when he said Caesar in America is us. That is the people, which is the very nature of a republic. And so we're not ruled by a king. We are the ones for whom the kings work, if you know what I mean. Supposedly the president works for you and me. So as God's people, we have a great responsibility, and I'm closing. As Satan and his minions are going about huffing and puffing, an effort to blow our personal, national, international houses down. It is time for America to pray. It's time for America to repent. It's time for Americans to vote. We are fast running out of time, saints. Make sure you vote. You owe it to your country. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your family, your fellow man, and it honors God who gave you this country. God bless America. God bless you. And as you honor God's covenant with America and vote, God bless America. Amen. Thanks for hanging with me. Hallelujah. Let's stand together.